Hello, Robin. How's it going today?
Hey, yeah, pretty good.
All right, so let's give the viewers a little bit about yourself, and I think you're the best to do that.
I'm Robin. I'm a freelance VFX artist. I've been in the industry for about 13 years. And I actually started out as a concept artist, basically. Like I did a study, like a game art study, and really wanted to do concept art. I had an internship at Guerrilla Games. I worked on Killzone, Shadowfall, Horizon, and I tried freelancing after that, like doing concept art and illustration, and just eventually decided it just wasn't for me. And I actually got a job as a generalist after that. And I got to try on all the different hats, and I started doing VFX there. And started to gradually specialize in it. It was immediately clear that VFX was like the thing I enjoyed most. And then I worked there for about 7 years, I think, and eventually started freelancing as a VFX artist.
We'll go there, that's for sure. So I wanted to ask, like, what a journey from 2D concept art, right? Or was it 2D 3D mixed?
It was a 3D and a 2D mix, yeah.
Yeah, and
Like
I was curious because, like, when people say concept art, most people imagine 2D painting, but concept art comes with a lot of 3D actually, especially the latest version of it, I would say.
Like these days, it's mostly 3D and then just a bit of touching up.
Because I was also interested in concept art, but I was like really positively shocked how 3D was like a huge part of it, and it's really interesting. It's a whole different pipeline. Like, it's a whole different thing. It's not production heavy, although it has to be. It's more like you need to have these amazing ideas, but also be able to visualize them. It's such a weird. Maybe you give us a little bit about concept art.
When I was at Guerrilla, it was mostly building blocks and props. Like every single thing in their game is in their games are designed. Like every minor thing is just thought out and fleshed out and concepted. Like they usually started with a 3D base. We back in when was that? 2013, I think. We were working on Horizon, and they built like this huge kit, like for kit bashing, a huge kit of building blocks for quickly building props for, we worked on one city, like the what's it called again, like the big city. And they had like a huge library basically of building blocks in SketchUp, and we put things together, rendered it out in Maya, and then touched up in Photoshop. So that was that whole pipeline and process. And when I started freelancing, it was mostly illustration and mostly for card games and board games. But I basically, maintained a completely different workflow.
Yeah.
Mostly using a lot of photos as references and actually hand painting, because it's more illustration, right? It's
Yeah, of course.
not technically the same as concept art, so there was a big difference there.
But it's interesting that you also have that background. I wanted to ask you because I also come from like a pure 2D background back in the day. But I've always noticed that the most thing that made my artwork shine was the effects that I drew. Was that the same for you?
I didn't really concept those at all.
Okay. But would you
Like,
like draw a character with like fire in their hand, for example? Would that always
yeah,
enhance the
I
work?
did some illustrations, but it wasn't the thing that really drove it.
Got it.
It was just an added extra thing, right? Like to ground the illustration, basically.
Yeah. But that's what I'm talking about, is that it's not the main piece, right? But when you look at it, it gave it, like, at least in my artwork, when I look back at those artworks, I'm like, hey, I was always interested. I was always interested in effects. Like you said, you don't put, like, it's not the main piece. I'm not saying, like, that is the main concept, but when you added it, you felt like, I at least felt a special connection to those pieces because I was like, there's something about this that I really like, but I couldn't figure out exactly what it was.
You make a good point. I don't think it was like a conscious thing, but you're right, like it does add a lot, and I always like doing it. And that's the thing I love about VFX as well. Like it adds so much. Like it's a game without VFX is just empty.
I
You
agree.
really miss it.
It adds so much. VFX are so amazing, especially for games like you mentioned. But it could also be taken in like a movie or an anime or like actually like a lot of the things that we're attracted to in animes, for example, when we were young, were like the effects, like the Kamehameha, right? The stuff, the added things, the camera shake, all those feel elements of a TV show or of a game. And with a game, you kind of need to make the player feel, otherwise like, why play the game, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. So that's a huge turn from 2D, kind of draw, you dove in 3D a little bit, and that had brought you to be a generalist, but more of, I guess, more of a generalist in like environment art, right? And or characters.
It was a mobile game developer, so like we when we started out, it was just the three of us, and we were just in that whole hyper casual boom, right? Just when mobile games really started to gain momentum, and we were just riding that wave. Like it was an insane time, like, but it's like their games, it was way more of a graphical design approach. Like it was all quite abstract because it needed to be so general, so basic that it's kind of appealing to everyone. So that was a huge difference.
And so it had to make sense. It had to be non-specific, but yet also specific enough to be readable, almost like iconography or alphabets. You look at it, it's a language. You look at it, it's a mobile game in that sense.
It's basically like a really, really pure distilled version of game art. Like it needs to be readable, like you said, and it's a completely different way of designing, of visual design.
But you
But it
were
was pretty
like.
fun, and in that sense, like I did like everything from concepting to implementation, animations, effects. Like usually we didn't really have characters because it was usually just a cube, a dot, a thing, whatever. But there are still a lot of it was basically getting that juicy feeling, right?
I know what you mean.
So even even with primitive shapes, you could still kind of get that.
Like you want to get your
And
hands
the
on it,
effects
you
was
know, you
a
want to play with it.
like it needs to be visually appealing, and VFX was a huge part of that as well.
Okay. So was that the beginning where you dove in VFX?
I just noticed that, whenever I had days where I can just do VFX, I was the most happy.
Wow, that's cool.
Like I love that so much. I was good at it. Eventually the company grew to like 40 people in just like 2 years. It was crazy.
Wow.
But people called me like the particle guy, right? Like I love doing it so much, and I was pretty good at it as well. So yeah, it's kind of that when I found out, like, hey, this is really nice. Like, I love this.
Because I was thinking generalists are very conflicted with the way they should sell themselves or like sell their skill sets. Because we sound a little bit like scammers, right? Like when someone is trying to hire us, oh, I can do this, I can do 3D. Oh, you can do 3D. Okay, cool. I can also do 2D. All right, cool. I can also wipe the floor and I could also, you know, it just sounds like just hire me, please. But what we're trying to say is that we're just multidisciplinary artists, and
Yeah.
VFX allows us to have that freedom, I feel. Like it's different skills. It's not only one disciplinary. You could always expand it. It's a lot of things in one, and it's flashy while you're doing it. It's I can't
Yeah.
explain it more. It's I want to hear your opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but even being a generalist is, for smaller companies, it's super valuable. Like
Yes.
if you have a good generalist that can do pretty much anything you throw at them, then it's getting done. And like I had a teacher who said, like, what was it, how he said it exactly, like, learn everything or learn something about everything, but learn everything about something. And that's stuck with me. Like still after years, like it's really valuable to have a really broad skill set, so you know the basics of pretty much everything art related. But excelling at one thing like VFX, that's super valuable, especially to small companies.
Wow, what a great way to put it.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, what a great thing, right? When you meet the right people early on in your life and they kind of just shape up your whole,
Yeah.
like, world going forward.
Especially that one thing, like it always stuck with me.
Wow. Like I feel a bit jealous. Like when people say tell stories about like teachers they had or like the impact of their friends on them or like their parents. I'm like, wow, that's super cool. It's almost like a cheat code if you think about it. Like, wow, you figured it out just because you had the right people around you. So yeah, environment is a lot, right? That's like also what how much you learn on the job. That's a huge part of it.
Because I basically I did some modeling, but I learned Blender just at the job, basically. Like UI design, I barely even did UI design, and I got really good at that as well. Video editing. At one point, we were at like a bit of an awkward phase, like not really ready for bigger VFX and like shader creation and things like that.
Yeah.
But I still wanted to do like pretty flashy, cool VFX, so I just learned a lot of After Effects and
Oh
just
yeah, that's very helpful.
yeah, did
Yeah.
effects and After Effects and just rendered it out to sprite sheets, flipbooks,
Yeah, that's
and
actually a
did
very
it.
underutilized tool, After Effects, for textures.
Yeah, I wouldn't use it now, but back then when things were a lot more limited,
Yeah, no
it was a
substance
pretty
data.
solid, yeah, it was a pretty solid option.
Yeah, and also like if you don't know much about how to create a shader that can do the same direction, of effect you want
Yeah.
it to do, I would imagine After Effects being a great alternative to just like you said, create flipbooks. That's what I want to ask you actually. Like, was animation like if you have a spectrum, right? And on the 3D, you're on a very high level, right? On the 2D, you're on a very high level, rendering wise, like, or more than average, let's say, like 70% of your skills maybe is on in 3D and 2D. How was it when it came to animations? Always like back in the day, and also during VFX, because VFX is huge on animations, right?
I was always pretty good at animation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I got a really good feel for it. And it's just, for VFX it's the same rules as for 2D or 3D animation. Yeah, I did a lot of UI animation as well, and I just used the same principles. Like
Oh yeah, that's a big
the
one.
12 principles of animation.
Yeah, a lot of people don't talk about UI VFX actually. That's a huge one.
It's horrible. I hate it so much.
I'll take this part away.
it's especially in Unity, the way rendering works and being so limited, it's and the scaling and everything, like it's always a pain to do UI VFX.
I feel you, man. I feel you. I mean, I haven't done much, but I've worked a little bit with the Unity UI system, and it's a pain. What can I
Yeah, it
say?
is.
It's almost always better to just have a dedicated artist for that, and you could make your effects and just export it, or make it with like a transparent background or whatever, and then send it over for them to implement it, because they know how to think about things, and they know. Yeah, I mean, games generally are just so interesting. You get to work with so many people with different backgrounds and different expertise, and you kind of just all are working together, jamming something beautiful, something fun.
It's
Yeah.
crazy that games exist.
That's
Like
true.
it's yeah.
It's a
Like
miracle.
you have so many people, so many disciplines, so many ideas, coming together and make one coherent thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty insane.
It also gives me hope, like in the world a little bit, because like if we can, collaborate to make this impossible magic, like why can't we find world peace? Like it's way more complicated than world peace, I feel. Yeah.
It is for sure.
We need our first game dev president, I feel like. We need that person. We need producers in our politics, honestly.
Get all the world leaders and put them together, make a
Make
game.
a game, right?
Engine.
Yeah. I love this perspective. Yeah, so at one point you were noticing like, yeah, I think I'm gonna just do visual effects. But here's the thing, like people are watching your reel, of course, and they're like, wow, this person is really good. And they might look like, how long have you been doing it? And they might see 7 years, but I think what they don't see is, what did you do before you did VFX? And that's why this podcast is important, is like to tell people it's not a talent, it's a skill. Yeah.
It's also a way of thinking. Like, I you know that's a huge thing of concept art. Like, you're designing something that has a purpose. So, what they said a lot in at the Guerrilla Games, like form follows function, right? So
Okay.
things look the way they do because they have a certain function.
Like a knife.
And that's exactly the same, yeah, as VFX, like especially gameplay VFX, because a character is doing something that from a game design perspective, like an attack or whatever, does something. So what does the player expect? Like, how should it look so that the player can like expect how it looks, right? Like it's like you got to make sure that there's no dissonance in that. Like if you cast a fireball that does a ton of damage and it looks like a it
It doesn't
doesn't
feel,
sell, right?
yeah, it doesn't sell.
Yeah. So it's also a thinking about VFX like that, like what is the purpose? What kind of character is doing something that creates the effects? Like there's so many little things you got to keep in mind when you design these effects. Because if it's a mismatch in any way, then it's not going to look good.
But you know what? It's also about learning the rules and bending them, like breaking them. So, for example, if you have a boss and you just want it to be scary, you would make all those effects big and purposeful in that, right? To scare the player. So the player will be like, oh, this must have done a lot of damage. Although maybe it
Yeah.
didn't, just to scare them. What do you think about that?
Yeah, sure. Like, but also one of the biggest things VFX artists are finding difficult is you cannot go overboard with every single thing. Like, if everything is big, then nothing is big, right? Because it's all the same. So you need to have like increments of build up in effects as well, because from a game design standpoint, like if you have a boss battle and it does multiple attacks, they're not all gonna be the same. They're gonna have different damage scales. They're gonna have maybe a area of effects or not, and you need to take all those considerations in mind when you make those effects.
It's crazy. So many
Like
things to put
that's
into it. I feel like
yeah.
education, like if you would go back and, like right now, right? When students want to learn VFX, I feel like they learn the outside surface of what VFX is and not the core, which is like things like you're talking about, like contrast, like even in sizes. Contrast in or purpose. Where is this magic effect coming from? Is this coming from the air? Are they able to transform the air particles into energy? Where is this energy getting collected? In front of their hand, in front of their face? What is going on? And right now, like, I feel because VFX is a superficial thing, I feel like people tend to just want to learn how to make things pretty. And this is, I think,
Yeah,
the
exactly.
difference between like a senior VFX artist who comes from concept art. So that's someone like yourself, right? You're thinking like forms are the way they are because they function. And I feel like it's such a great background to have.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And
I mean,
like, how
if you
can you
look at
teach
all
that, I
the
guess? Go ahead.
huh?
I was like, how can you teach that? How can we bring this to this knowledge to the like the new generation of visual effects artists?
That's a good question. I think it's also learning a bit about game design as well. I think it's also just doing it a lot. Like, it's a really tricky thing, like to answer, because there's not that many resources out there, if any at all. Like, all the resources you see for learning VFX is, hey, here's how you can make a really cool explosion, from A to Z, right? Like the texture creation and the meshes and the shaders. But yeah, there's nothing out there that teaches you to think about that kind of stuff. I think it's also just working at a company for
Yeah, I
years,
mean, but
and
the thing is, like, not anybody has access to that, right? Like, if I'm a junior right now, like, if I was a junior, I would be focusing on what people are telling me to do, which is like make things look pretty. A problem with making things look pretty is you're probably inco like the effect itself is probably incoherent, like you mentioned, with like if you have a background in concept art or background in game design, you're thinking about things completely differently. You're thinking about scaling things up. You're thinking about how this could be fun to upgrade and get the bigger effect. I just think a lot of things are on the surface these days. Like even education, like online education, is selling you the bare surface thing. Like they want to attract your attention for you to buy and sell you the feeling, yet you're not getting the actual experience. It's like I've had this concept in mind. I wanted to, I call it the guild, like any guild, basically. That's a concept of an online academy I would love to create one day. Looking for partners. And the concept is let's get them, like, let's make a mentorship program. But instead of everybody's working for themselves, everybody works together on a project that delivers. So you pay for your entry, you're paying for experience, basically. And you all get together, if it's 20 students, 5 students, 4 students, you all get in together, create something coherent under one senior. You could make it this, you could make an asset on the Unity store, sell it, get a share from that, or you could even make it an outsource thing. Like a real guild, right? That's what guilds used to do. Like people back in the day, like illustrators used to have guilds. I don't know if you ever went to like art, and this is not for you, but like anybody who was watching, like if you ever went to an art museum, you would see those huge pieces of art that's been painted. Then you would see what the master did, right? The master did a small one and cut it into like corner, into like squares, and each junior was taking part of that, and they were painting it, and they were making sure that it all was coherent. I kind of miss that in our industry. Like, we kind of don't have as much of that.
There actually is one company, and it's like their whole purpose is training people, to get their foot in the door, in the game industry, basically. And it's all on a volunteer
That's
basis.
awesome.
I forgot the name. They're actually working, on a game that's gonna be released at some point. But the thing is, no one is really getting paid,
Yeah, that's a problem, yeah.
because it's, it's voluntary. But I think it is a good way to gain experience, because it's a professional setting. Like, they do have meetings, they have managers, they have expectations. Like, in every sense, it's a game company. It's just on a, on a voluntary basis.
And I feel like that needs to be profitable at one point. Like, we need to look at juniors as an invest, like an invest. What is it? Investing
Yeah,
and
like an investment.
investment. Thank you so much. That, I'm hiring this junior. I'm teaching this junior. this junior will be probably going to be a mid-level if they get the proper education. What I see right now is that, oh, a junior is a risk. Is like, yeah, sure, but like how are the juniors supposed to gain the experience that you demand from them, you know?
It's also the state of the industry. Like,
sure.
Juniors are usually, especially in AAA, right? They're usually seen as an investment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't expect you to, add anything substantial to the project for at least a year.
Mm.
Like, it is an investment for the future of the company.
Yeah.
And, you know, with the industry going belly up, no one is hiring juniors because, you know, they can't afford it. That's the thing. Juniors are always an investment. They're always hired, with the idea of them someday, you know, being good enough to actually contribute something.
But honestly, even
to the project,
even like the more reason why guilds should exist, like, a person like you who is like senior at like probably not like senior in age but like senior in experience or principal artist has a lot of experience, and you're more likely to be hired, right, than a mid-level or a junior. Then why not a guild concept where, let's say, you have five mid to junior levels students that you could supervise. And instead of taking 3 projects a year, you get to take like 15 projects. This is just me talking, like thinking about the idea loudly with you, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It could be a really good idea.
It would be profitable, I guess. Like, you could also share what you're getting with the people who you're teaching. But of course, not all of it. That would be unprofitable.
Yeah.
But I feel like governments need to get on that system just to keep the industries going. Because otherwise, you have people who don't want to do what they're doing or don't have a fair chance. It's just luck at one point.
Yeah.
And luck is not sustainable.
Yeah. Well, I mean, money is a sensitive subject everywhere at the moment, right? Like, in the Netherlands, the government, or at least the cities, used to invest a lot in the game development.
Yeah.
Like the game industry.
Yeah.
And funding has just completely dried up, what I understood. Like, there used to be like a really nice initiative, Dutch Game Garden. It was basically like a sort of an incubator thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they had huge offices, a lot of small game companies under their wing, sharing work, working together, and just making cool stuff. And they ceased to exist, I think, last year. Because funding has dried up and, you know, it's just not working anymore. So,
yeah,
but I agree that, you know, governments really should do more to, you know, help out the game industry, especially these days.
I mean, it seems that they, and I'm not blaming them, of course, like, what they did was great and there was funding. But I think the word here is sustainability, right? Like, let's say an agency funds a game for a year. Like, you kind of need to think about how can we sustain. Like, we're putting this into somewhere, but then how can we sustain that, keep it running on its own? But if the whole industry is in a bad shape, the whole industry is in a bad shape.
Yeah.
And the purpose, like, of the thing we're talking about is not to discourage people to start learning, but to say, okay, a person like you will find work, right? Because you got the skills, right?
Mm.
And that's
probably
my point.
Yeah.
Like, regardless, the industry will go up, the industry will go down. It will be up and down every now and then, but it's the only thing that you can guarantee that can go up is your skills, I feel. Like, invest in that, at least.
Yeah,
Yeah.
definitely. Never stop learning.
Never.
It's especially with VFX, like there is so many
Yeah,
areas
yeah,
you can learn
yeah.
in. So
Which area do you feel like you haven't
absolutely.
touched as much with VFX?
Where do I begin?
Yeah.
Like especially the tech side, I think. Like I'm thinking about going more towards technical art,
Cool, yeah.
but I cannot do any programming.
Yeah.
Like I haven't really given it a fair shot, but that's one thing. I also think realistic VFX, like I've
That
barely
could be interesting,
done
yeah.
them. Yeah, like there's,
I had
I
an
mean,
interesting conversation with Mustafa, the guy who runs Mad VFX. Yeah. We're thinking about like working together. That would be fun. And I also want to have him on the podcast. But we had an interesting conversation about like how concept art is not as much implemented in realistic VFX. So basically realistic in the sense of it looks realistic, but it's not limited to only being realistic. So like what you're thinking about is like how would an infection, a magic infection of some sort that is caused from crystal would look like while still not stylizing it. Like while still keeping the realism in it. Like think Resident Evil, right? How those weird, concepts are and there's like blood spreading everywhere. Yeah, that is not so much taught, first of all, not so much implemented, I feel. And like a guy like you could obviously, show how that process is like from zero till like the actual real-time VFX. I feel like there's value in that.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not a great concept artist, so I try to give it a shot, but in my eyes, there are so many amazing concept artists out there, who it is a specialization, and even
It is.
if the purpose is VFX, then I still think it should be done by a proper concept artist.
Yeah. I think
Because
you.
it's
Yeah, go ahead.
yeah I think it's concept art is not easy at all. Like you need to be really good at especially if you like if you're going towards realistic effects, then it's usually bigger productions, right? So it's likely that it's AAA and they have specialized people in-house for that kind of stuff. Concepting is rarely done for VFX. Like the only instance I remember is I thought it was Infamous. Like the which one was it? Like the last one. Like all the smoke effects, they were really properly concepted.
Wow.
I think by the concept team. But you don't see it often.
Wow. I mean, generally, I like in my work when I do real-time VFX, I ask the art director to like it's what I'm trying to say is that it's okay to ask. If you're not that good in concepting, like my strength, for example, I could really concept quickly in Engine. I could do that. I can get you a result quickly. But if you give me a sketch of what you envision, I can get you something pretty decent pretty quickly without rounds of feedback, like without 10 rounds of feedback, maybe one, and then it keeps going because you gave me that one thing, you sketched it out for me. So like for example what we worked on, and it's the game I'm working on is still not out yet, so I can't talk much about it. It's like one of the ways I cut on time was to say, hey, you know what, art director, creative director, let's sit down, 30 minutes max, let's sketch down fastly like what you envision each effect to be. And that, compared to how we started working, was so much faster. I was able to like spit those out. I was like, I know exactly what you want. I know exactly how you would like it to be, which color you want it to be. It got so fast, you know, just like that. So I do
It just
encourage, like,
takes,
yeah, go ahead.
yeah, it just takes out all the guessing work. Like especially if the briefs are a bit, you know, unspecified, a bit vague, maybe,
Yeah,
like,
explosion, big explosion, small explosion, medium.
yeah, exactly, yeah. Like the previous project I worked on was with an art director who was also really hands-on, and yeah, he just sketched out all the effects, and we just replicated it,
Yeah,
you know, one to one.
it's communication, but it's in drawn form, it's in drawn language. I feel like instead of like spending 30 minutes on writing a Discord message of a feedback per feedback round, which could take 5 or 10, sitting down 30 minutes going through the list, sketching down some things, that is a huge time saver, although on paper it might sound unnecessary. But believe me,
I
take your
mean,
time.
you're making something visual,
Yeah.
so you know, communicating in a visual way,
Yeah.
that's perfect.
Yeah. And I feel like, I mean, generally, games are novel. Each game is its own novel creation, right? Like, we don't make games. Not every game is made the same way. And I think if it was, we wouldn't see new games, and we wouldn't see the numbers we see with games, like profit-wise. So, given that it's a novel form and it's comp always like constantly evolving, we should like share the knowledge, like not just visual effects artists, but like everybody together. However, I don't see as much like real-time visual effect conferences out there where you could go share your knowledge with other real-time visual effects artists in the VFX industry, like the film. A lot of those exist and they're huge. But with us, like real-time VFX artists, it feels still like it's new. It's a new position. I don't know. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think VFX has been a bit of an afterthought for a long time. And you know, maybe a decade ago, things started changing, and you know, they started seeing the importance of good VFX. But yeah, it's for some reason it's not as attractive as, you know, concept art or character art or, you know, modeling. But I do think like the VFX community is amazing. Like it's you know, we have the Discord server. People are so extremely helpful. It's like knowledge is being shared by everyone. Like there are people there who are, you know, who have been in the industry since the beginning, and they still help out, you know, newbies, people who are just, you know, interested in doing effects, and it's you know, the community is amazing for that matter. It's I've never seen anything like that before.
It's the sense of
Like
camaraderie, right? Because we all come from
yeah,
different
like, but
sections.
it is a relatively small group.
Yeah, I
So
agree.
it's pretty tight, yeah.
But it's not too tight either. Like, it's big enough where conferences should exist, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But
Well,
I.
you see, you know, at GDC and conferences like that, you see more VFX these days.
I agree with that, and I think there should be more. However, I also think we should have our own thing where we're all going, we're all sharing. Like you said, it's an amazing community. Everybody, I described it on the podcast before. It's like we're magicians, but we're not the type of magician that don't wanna show how it's done. We're the type of magician that want to show you how it's done. You know, we're hungry. We're like, I would love to share my work with you. I would love to share some tricks with you. Like before we started the podcast, we talked about something that is sensitive, right? To how like studios should like treat other VFX artists and things like that. When I get the knowledge, when I get that knowledge from you, then I'm twice as aware from things like that, right? I'm being cautious. So I feel like those conferences should actually exist just for us, you know? And like we do have online things and they are nice. But what we don't have is that let's sit down all together, celebrate who we are, celebrate where we come from, like the different sections. And it is this hacky thing. Like visual effects should not exist. Like you said, games should not exist. It's hacky. All of it is very hacky. Like that type of shaders we make and how they visualize something. Like when you think about how we make an explosion, it's like, this should not make an explosion, but it does. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of tricks to share with other people, I feel.
Definitely. I'm all for it. Like if you want to set that up,
I would love
set up a
to.
few events.
I should get Epic on the game. I should get Epic and Unity on the game and just like sponsor this thing, like to make a European one at least, because I think that thing will boom because like we don't there is nothing that like it that exists. And we do like in Europe, I think we have around 1,000 real-time visual effects artists, like approximately. That's pretty much. That's a lot. It's a lot of us. But the need
It
for
is a
visual
lot,
effects artists is much higher than 1,000. That's the beauty of it, yeah. So yeah,
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
yeah. It's a good career choice, I feel. That's like one of the exciting
Yeah,
things.
it is. Like even with all the layoffs, VFX is still pretty safe. Like it's hard for juniors, which sucks, but you know. We're still getting work. I mean, I've noticed things are tougher now. But, you know, there's still a demand for sure.
Huge demand. And also, I mean, not a great huge demand, but like there is demand in the meaning, like even if the industry is super injured. A game without visual effects, like you said in the beginning of this podcast, like is empty. And even for a list of 10 effects, you need to hire someone. Because it's not a I'm gonna start learning VFX because VFX is a combination of different skills. Not everybody can just like roll their sleeves and dive in. And I would actually encourage people to do that. But if you haven't dabbled with other principles, you haven't tinkered with some 2D art, you don't know what colors are, all of those things, like you need to have a basic, like at least 10% knowledge in those different sectors. And this is what keeps us keeps our jobs safe. Because we are people who are come from like different backgrounds and we have different principles. We're kind of generalists if you think about it. And this kind of keeps our job safe. One thing that I like fear of is specialization. What I don't like about specialization is you're replaceable. Like let's take the most specialization ever. Like imagine Ford factories back in the day, like those cars factories where there were jobs, literally guys would come in. All what they do is screw something, put it together and then next, right? If you would ask them about the general pipeline, they would tell you, I have no idea. I just do this. And I do it really good and I do it really fast. That's all what I do. All those people got replaced by machines eventually because all what they did was assemble something. And I'm very afraid of specialization. I don't want to put all my eggs in one basket. The way I feel about visual effects or real-time visual effects is that I've had all the baskets with all the different eggs now. And they deliver me a purpose. It's like I don't look at it as a basket itself. Visual effects is not a basket. It's the truck that I'm delivering with because I have all those eggs in different baskets.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
I mean, visually, yeah. But maybe there's a better metaphor. I will leave it out there for people who are looking for better metaphors. All right, listen, Robert, it's been amazing talking to you. This has been great. I'll keep it short, like 50 minutes. I feel like it's great. Before we go, is there something you would like to promote, or talk about?
Not really, no.
All right, then.
I'm glad you had me on the podcast. Thanks.
Yeah, I'm really glad that we did this. I feel like the like feeling wise, artistically, I think this is the best episode I've ever had, if I'm honest with you. It's really good. We've had covered like really great points. We had fun about some topics, and we just covered like the general visual effects sentiment, and I feel like we could do this again one day. But for now, I'll just talk to the viewers, tell them thank you, my viewers, for clicking on this. Consider subscribing, leave a like and a comment. This all helps the algorithms. YouTube love the stuff, so just leave that. And I'll thank you again, Robin, and I will talk to you still, but I'll say goodbye to the viewers. All right, everybody,
All
have a
right.
good one, and I see you in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.